By now, pretty much everybody has seen a photo or been to the Ark in Northern Kentucky. I've been there a couple of years ago, came down and took the tour, and it was wildly impressive. It was fascinating to get an idea of the true scope and scale of the Ark. This is Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis, and a lot of people know him because of the Ark, but there is so much more that you do, and we just want to chat about that a bit today. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Well, it's great to be with you. Well, we have a ministry called Answers in Genesis, and it's an apologetics ministry. That doesn't mean we apologize for our faith. It means we equip people to be able to defend the Christian faith against the secular attacks of our day. And many different facets to the ministry, but we also built the two leading Christian-themed attractions in the world. The Creation Museum was first, and it's like a whole walk through the Bible. And then the Ark Encounter, the life-size Noah's Ark. And the purpose of the attractions is really to bring people in. We get Christian and non-Christians, in fact, 30% non-Christian, people from all different backgrounds. It's fascinating, people who will come into these attractions, because they're world-class, they're every bit the quality of Hollywood.
They really are, I mean, truly.
I would say it's better than Hollywood quality.
Yeah.
And we want to show people, as Christians, we can do something really first class, because we have the most vital message of all anyway for the world. So people come from all over to come to the two attractions. And of course we produce books and videos and so on. And we deal specifically with apologetics in regard to Genesis 1 to 11, because it's the foundation for everything. And it's the foundation for marriage, and it's the foundation for gender, and the foundation for dealing with abortion, which means we get into all those moral issues that today the secular world would class people like us as having hate speech and so on, as you know. And so we have some interesting battles today.
Yeah, and battle is the right word, because not that many. Okay, it was a long time ago. I was a TV news reporter in the Lexington, Kentucky area, and I remember back when this was just an idea to build the Creation Museum. And I remember the fierce opposition you had even then. And I've always admired you for your persistence through that, because you've had opponents, strong, vociferous opponents from the very beginning on this.
Well, I must admit, you know, when you read about the Israelites conquering the Promised Land, sometimes I think, yeah, that's us. You know, we had to battle Jericho and then battle Ai, and we have to battle the giants. And it just seems like one big long battle. The atheists really didn't want us building the Creation Museum. I mean, talk about not wanting to have free speech. I mean, they actually said, you have no right to build such a Creation Museum because you're telling lies and all the rest of it. In other words, because of their atheism and they disagreed with our message, they tried to stop us building a Creation Museum. We had to battle that. We ended up going to court over that, and we won that. So we've had all those sorts of battles. When it came to the Ark Encounter, same sort of problems. And then we ran into a problem with the then governor of Kentucky, who said that we couldn't have a tourism tax incentive just like any other tourism facility, because we're Christians. And because we employ people who are Christians who have to sign a statement of faith. So we went to court over that, and we won that too.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, a federal judge ruled conclusively, we have every right to employ who we want based on our statement of faith, to sign our statement of faith, based on the, you know, 1964 Civil Rights Act, Title VII exemption, and so on. So we've had those battles, and then we've had, we've had battles in regard to the COVID issue.
Yeah.
For instance, when the governor of Kentucky shut us all down and we're going to reopen, we worked with First Liberty. You guys are so great to work with. I'm so thrilled that there are organizations like First Liberty, so that people like us can say, hey, we need help. We're dealing with infringement on our freedoms here. And so we work with you in regard to reopening the Ark and the Creation Museum. And then we had the OSHA mandate in regard to
the employer mandate that if you have more than 100 employees, and you got a lot more than 100.
Exactly. That was going to cause massive problems. I looked at that OSHA document, like 700-800 pages or something ridiculous, and the massive fines they would make in regard to an employee, and then the organization 10 times more. They could totally bankrupt and destroy an organization within a few days. And so that was, I am so pleased that the Supreme Court ruled the way they did, and we're able to not have to do that. But thanks to First Liberty for getting so much involved in that.
I want to talk about the heart of that issue, because really it came down to you as an employer of people wanting to be protective of the differing ideas among the employees that you have. I'm sure some have been vaccinated, some didn't want to be, and they had a religious objection to it. You said, I'm going to stand up for my employees.
We did. In fact, we met with all of our staff. We have about 1,000 staff altogether, and then we employ 600 seasonals as well.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, when you have staff like that, and we have Christians who sign a statement of faith, but, you know, to me, we have no right to go and tell them what they should do with their body and whether they should put this vaccine in their body or not. We're not against vaccines, and some of our staff have been vaccinated, and that's fine. But the mandate was that if they weren't vaccinated, then what they would have to do, and they'd have to be tested regularly. That would cost a fortune to test them regularly. And then if there was anyone who was found by OSHA to not having done what they should have, or if we knew about it, or what, I mean, you can imagine what could have been done. And there were some of our staff that had objections for health reasons, because they've had difficulties in the past with other vaccines, and their doctors recommended they not have the vaccine. There's others that have very serious objections in regard to the use of fetal cells, cell tissue, in regard to testing of certain vaccines or whatever, those particular lines, in regard to aborted babies. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, when she was talking about abortion, she actually sent out this tweet, "My body, my rights. A woman has a right to do with her body what she wants to. No one has a right to tell her what she should do with her body." Well, the interesting thing is, she said that in regard to the abortion issue, but not this issue. The inconsistency, they're so hypocritical. And besides which, a fertilized egg is not a part of the woman's body anyway. Exactly. But that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. This, and there's an aspect to this that I find fascinating, and it's this. I don't know which of your employees you agree with. And as a law firm, I mean, we don't take a position on whether people should get a vaccine or should not get it. That's not our expertise. It's not what we do. What we are expert in is the law and what it protects when it comes to religious freedom. What I'm hearing you say, and this is the part that's fascinating to me, is I don't know which group you're in. I don't care. But the point is, you were willing to stand up for people who may or may not agree with you in order to defend their rights under the law as Christians.
Exactly. I mean, we have no right as an employer to tell all these people what they should do in with their own personal decision in regard to, you know, their own lives, their own bodies. Now, they have to agree to our statement of faith to be employed by us, but that's very different. That's very different than telling them, we're going to tell you what you should do as a medical decision for you. We have no right to do that. In fact, you know what I don't understand? Maybe you can help me understand here.
Probably not, but we'll try.
You know, I'm Australian, right? And
I kind of picked up on that.
Still have that accent, I hope. But we're now American citizens as well. In fact, dual citizens. You know, whichever country goes down first, we'll jump on the other one, I guess. But I've never understood why our HR department was so adamant that, you know, people's medical issues are their own, and we have no right to ask them about them or find out about them and so on, and they have to be protected, and it's not our right to know all those things. And yet here, the government was telling us, you need to understand medically what these people are doing. You need to know about it. Not only that, if they weren't going to have the vaccine, they would have to have masks and stand out amongst all the other staff. And so everyone would know, oh, you're one of them. And I mean, I don't understand. Isn't our a medical condition and our medical history, isn't that supposed to be kept personal?
One would think. I'm not an attorney, but I can summarize that it's illegal, unconstitutional, and frankly, it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's government overreach. You know, a lot of this is all about, it's all about power and it's all about control. And that's what we looked at. You know, it was the mandate and the overreach in regard to total control and the way we were supposed to control our own employees in regard to a medical decision. There's no way that we were going to do that. And we told the employees, we're standing up for you and for your rights. This is a freedom issue in regard to you. and that's what we're standing for, and we as an employer are not going to force this on you. And, you know, I know, you know, as a Christian organization, you know, and Christians, we are to obey the government, but you are also to obey God rather than men. And when it comes to this issue, we believe the government stepped outside of their role of maintaining law and order, which is what they're ordained for. They stepped outside of that role to force something onto people and to get us as employers to force something onto people individually. So we weren't going to get it. We weren't going to do that.
We were honored to represent you. It was our pleasure to do that. As we wrap up here, what do you see in the future for Answers in Genesis? What's ahead? What are your dreams?
Oh, for Answers in Genesis, we just need to impact more people with the truth of God's word and the gospel. You know, it's interesting here at even NRB, as I walk around, I talk to some people and that, and there's people saying, do you think we're the last generation before the Lord comes? And you know, people want to make movies about all this, and they're saying maybe the end is near and all the rest of it. As I said to one person today, I said, well, we're nowhere near like the days of Noah yet. Only 8 people survived on that ark. There's millions of Christians in this nation. And you know what I think we've got to do? We've got to focus on what Jesus said in that parable in regard to the fact that the nobleman, the king that had these servants and entrusted resources to them, then he went away, and then he said, until I return, do the business of the king. And you know what? We don't know whether the Lord's coming back tomorrow, in 100 years, 1,000 years. I mean, we don't know. We need to be on about the business of the king. So for me, it's, hey, you know what we're going to do at the Ark Encounter? We got plans to build a Tower of Babel and take people through that and deal with the racism issue and so on. We got plans to build a children's museum, a discovery center at the Creation Museum. And we're just going to go out and impact as many people as we possible, because we see out there the secularization of our culture. You know, we're told in Jude to contend for the faith. That's what we need to do. And as we contend for the faith, let me say, I hope First Liberty is always there, because we're going to need First Liberty when we find all the battles that we're going to get into. And we've already had deplatforming issues, and we're preparing for other deplatforming issues and banned from certain things. We're starting to see all of that now. And
it's going to get tough out
it's,
there.
It's infiltrating into the credit card processing areas and banking and all of these areas. So we're doing all sorts of things right now. And I know we're going to need you guys to help us again, as I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of battles in the future.
Ken Ham, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, thank you. And I pray more and more people will support organizations like yours.
Thanks again. Hey, we will have more from NRB 2022 on First Liberty Live.